We've been doing life skills on Wednesdays, and just as a reminder, what are life skills? They are techniques, abilities, and proficiencies in very specific areas that give us a key to living successfully. You know, we have reminded you with each of these messages, the teaching that Brother Hagin said is so very important, that we are a spirit being, that we have a soul and we live inside of a body. Brother Hagin taught us that if you don't understand that, if you don't get clarity on that, then you're not going to understand much of the Word of God. You're not going to be able to walk in the fullness of the blessings of God, because the Bible does deal with our body, soul, and our spirit. And life skills is about developing certain skills, proficiencies, techniques in those areas that deal with our flesh, that deal with our soul, and then tonight we're going to be dealing with the spirit. We've already done the flesh, and we've done the soul. Those skills, again, are categorized in three areas with the three parts of our being. And in the soul realm, it was the thinking skills, which how we process the world, emotional skills, which is how we feel in the world. That's relevant because there's a lot of emotionalism going on. People are really living their life driven by their emotions. And even a lot of believers are being led by their emotions. And they'll say things like, well, I feel peace, I feel this. They learn the words, but when they're saying, I feel peace, they're saying, I feel peace here. Not the peace of the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, He doesn't contradict the Word. And the greatest example, the most common out of all the people who tell me all the things they tell me, and they tell me all kinds of things to justify what they're doing. And what they feel peace about in the soul is what their flesh wants. And so their soul, which is what decides whether to listen to the spirit or the flesh, it can have its own, well, I feel good about it. And it's not, I feel the inner peace of the Holy Spirit. And again, the most common one out of all of them that I've ever heard is when people live together outside of marriage. And they say, I feel this is God's will. I feel we're married before God, and that he's okay with that. The Scripture teaches otherwise. And the Holy Spirit is not going to give you peace. They're feeling a different peace, a soul peace, not the inward witness peace. See, the inward witness peace will actually go against what your flesh is desiring. And so you may get a peace or a check about something that you actually want to do. This other piece is it's another way of saying, I feel good about my sin. I feel good about what I'm doing contrary to the Word of God. You understand? And so so you got the thinking and emotional skills. Social skills are how we relate to the world. The physical skills are how we function in this world, how we operate in the world. We dealt with that. And now tonight we're going to talk to you about spiritual skills, how we relate to our God. See, the social skills, the emotional skills, and the thinking skills in the soul realm deal with how we relate in the world. Our physical skills are how we relate or operate in the world. But the spiritual skills are really about how we relate and operate to our God. And so let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we're going to read through 23. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now that's pretty big, isn't it? To not render evil for evil to anybody. Not just your family, not just your friends, not just, well, even those close associates. You know, we talked about that Sunday, who's our neighbor, and we'll continue that. But to everyone, you know, we're not to render evil to anyone. And then we're to pursue what is good, both for ourselves, that's okay, but also what is good for everyone. You know, so my seeking what's good for me should not supersede what's good for you. You got it? So in other words, we have to look external. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil. Well, you know, at least I'm not a bank robber. At least I'm not this. Abstain from every form of evil. Don't commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even lust for someone. I would say, he's also saying, then don't watch lustful television programming and movies. On cable television, apparently some of the movies or the TV shows they put on are really the equivalent of X-rated pornography. One of the really super popular shows that I think is coming to an end of its series, has been on for years, has full frontal nudity and shows sex acts. I think it's called Game of Thrones. And now they've apparently put a new one, because I see these headlines, that it's worse than anything that's ever been put on cable television. It's the theme of it is high school kids, apparently, and it's showing everything, and just absolute debauchery, filth. It's child porn. And it's promoting a horrible, sinful lifestyle amongst our young people, because they're probably watching it, because it's part of a cable channel lineup. I don't know what channel it's on, but these things are not, they're X-rated according to the content that I've read that they're supposed to have in it, full frontal nudity and sex acts. That's X-rated movies, and yet it's on TV now, and that's both of these shows, and who knows how many others. That's the only two that I've heard about in the news feeds that I look at on some Christian news sites and stuff. So abstain from every form of evil. Boy, that's form of evil. Anyway, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. The King James says, wholly. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is calling us to be sanctified in our whole being, body, soul, and spirit. And if you don't understand it, the word brought it out. So it says, may he sanctify you wholly. Well, that's your whole being. And then it says, may your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless. We can live a life that's different than the world. So we need to never think of spiritual disciplines when we look at that part of our being as something that's great in and of itself. Because if you start looking at, this is the things that I'm doing, and I'm going to teach you the practical things, I'm doing that, you can get puffed up in pride, and you're violating the other disciplines, you know, in the area of the flesh and in the soul realm, getting full of pride. And you know, I'm just super Christian. And pride goes before a stumble, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall. You know, we always say pride goes before the fall, and that's the old saying. It just kind of condenses both of those. But the scripture says pride goes before a stumble and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit is just living that pride, in just living it out. And that's a spiritual law. It will happen. And so don't think of these disciplines as something great in themselves. They're here to develop us. Put it like this. If you lift weights in the physical realm, it's a tool that makes your body stronger. If you do some of these things in the spiritual realm, it's like a weightlifting set, or like good nutrition, or, you know, like reading in the soul realm, you know, for your intellect, reading, learning. You know how many people don't read anymore? And if we would just do, like we talked about, read a book, you know, ask people you respect what are your favorite books, or what is your favorite book, ask that amongst a few people that you really respect that have lived a noble life, a godly life, a life worthy of emulating. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. Another translation says, be followers of me. The King James says, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. All the other translations says, be imitators. So follow my example, or in other words, imitate me, just like I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. And that is such an important principle. And so so you have people that you can look to and learn from. Ask them, what's your favorite book or three books? And then read those books. Make it your objective. And why will you grow? Okay. So think of it as think of them as tools that help us to learn to walk with God, to be in fellowship with Christ, and to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, all Christians need to learn to walk with God. All believers want to become Jesus' friend. And who did he say is his friends? Anybody? Who are his friends? You who hear my words and do them. You are my friends. You are my disciples. Okay? So, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Of course, that's John chapter 15. We all want to be in communion with the Lord. We all want to be in fellowship with him. We want to be in that place where we're hearing his voice. Well, the way that you do that is when you do hear his voice, obey. See, it's like, be faithful in the little things, in the few things, you'll be made ruler over much. Is God going to prolifically speak with you, just be constantly talking to you, if you just ignore his most basic instructions? But if you do what he's prompting you to do, he's going to speak to you more and more and more and more. Very simple principle. Are you getting anything out of this? All right. Those are very important things. Now, we want the fruit of the Spirit. You can read that in the book of Galatians. Love, joy, peace, so on. We want those to take our lives over. We want to have those characteristics. We want to manifest those fruit. We want that to be the fruit of our lives, to take over our lives, and to help us in the process of what we want to do. Well, it'd be good to meditate on those, to get those, list those, and think about those, and then every day do a debrief of your life. Greet the Lord in the morning. Lord, thank you for this day, the gift of this day. I give it back to you. I want to serve you, sir. May I please you in all that I do. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever I eat, whatever I drink, whatever I do, may I do it to your glory. And then at the end of the day, look back on the day in your prayer time and just say, Lord, just kind of looking back on my day, here's how it went. This is what went on. I'm really sorry for this. I'm really sorry for that. Compare what you did to the fruit of the Spirit and say, I got to correct that. You know, I can't remember the name of this show ever because it's been so long, but I've referred to it on and off over the years. You'd think I would try to look it up and remember it. But Robert Blake, you know, if you know who Robert Blake is, he was Mickey in The Little Rascals, but he grew up to be an adult actor. And he starred in a TV show that was pretty popular where he was a Catholic priest and he was like a detective. And at the end of every episode, he had an apartment in like New York or something, and he would go out on the fire escape and he would talk to God. He would have a prayer. And it was so wild. It was so neat to me. I wasn't even a believer, but it really, you know, impacted me. And I still remember it to this day because I was watching this character that's supposed to be a Catholic priest. You know, he has a cigarette and he never lit it, but he always had this cigarette in his his ear. But my priest smoked. I mean, he'd sit down in the basement of the church and smoke cigarettes, and he'd come to my house and drink scotch on the rocks. So that wasn't shocking to me. But he would pray, but he just talked to God. You know, it wasn't the Lord Godeth, holieth, lordeth in heaveneth. You know, he just like, well, Lord, you know, God, this is what happened today, man. And I tried, but I really blew that. And I thought, wow. And it really had an impact. And God doesn't want pretense. He just wants us to be in fellowship and relationship with him, to be in communion with him. But we've got to be responsive to him in order to develop that. But it starts with taking the end of your day and doing a debrief and asking, how did I line up with your will, with your word? Look at the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians. It'll be a great comparison. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love script, the passage, you know, on the love walk. And then compare yourself and then make adjustments. It'll change your life. Okay, the purpose of these disciplines in the spiritual realm are to help us enjoy God. They're not a grim duty. You know, they are a commitment. They become a duty in the sense of a self-imposed discipline, just like having a workout regime, having a healthy diet regime, which apparently we're not going to do tonight if we're going to all go to Dairy Queen in 5 minutes. And that's going to be fun. And it can be a treat. They do call them Dairy Queen treats. If you make it your everyday thing, it's going to be pretty rough. But those are disciplines. Well, spiritually speaking, it can be the same thing. But don't think of it as drudgery. Think of it as something to be a help so that you can learn to enjoy God more. Because when you do these things, you will develop an intimacy with God that's closer. Now, I want to speak with the spiritual disciplines. And I want to stress this. They are to make you closer to God. They're to develop your relationship. They don't make you more righteous. The book of Romans is real clear. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. That's Isaiah, but Romans reflects on that and tells us our own righteousness is not going to cut it. It's not going to get us to heaven. And so our own righteousness is like filthy rags, but what God did was he gave the righteousness of God, the righteousness that Jesus Christ earned, and he clothed us with it. Like he put a outer garment and covered our unrighteousness. And so our righteousness before God that gives us access to the Father is the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus, not our own righteousness. That would keep us excluded. So these disciplines are to get you closer to God. They're not going to make you more righteous. The blood of Jesus and the gift of righteousness, the imputation of righteousness, as the grace of God, the gift of God, you don't do anything to get that. That's at the day you get saved. Okay, so these will help us make our spiritual life stronger. They'll also make life more fun. How many of you would be real honest and say, when I blow it, after the fact, it might have been fun. I was tempted. It enticed me. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, for the moment in it. But then afterwards, it leaves an awful, nasty aftertaste. I ate some leftover Little Caesars pizza from the other day when we were working out here and had that garlicky butter on it. You know, Clay taught me to crazy crust the whole thing. And I've got the aftertaste of that still in my mouth. I got one mint in here. I put two in there, and it just still, you know, it was good eating it, good going down. But, man, it just doesn't really do it for me right now. That's sin. It might seem pleasurable, but it's a real bummer in the end. And so so this doesn't make us righteous. I want to give you a quote from Jonathan, what Jonathan Edwards called the means of grace. It's not really a quote, but Jonathan Edwards said these disciplines are like the means, they're the tools, they're the resources of being able to have the grace of God manifest in your life. Their activities, they're individual and corporate. We're going to do that next week. We're going to talk about the inner disciplines, the outer disciplines, and the corporate disciplines. And we'll do those three categories next week. I'll just tell you what they are tonight, and then we'll break them down next week, if that's okay. The spiritual disciplines, they're activities that are, as I said, individual and corporate. And we engage in them as a way of placing ourselves before God so that he can begin to work in us. By doing these things, we are putting ourselves into his hands and making ourselves kind of pliable, like the mold. You know, like, have you ever worked with clay before? I mean real clay. That stuff is really hard at first, but when you work it and it gets warm in your hands as you work it, and the heat of your hands doing that, it kind of softens up, and then you can start to shape it into something. But when you first get it, it's like, ah! You know, you remember you used to buy them, and they were like in rectangle, you know, sticks. And I mean, you know, but you work it. That's what these do. They make you that pliable clay in the hands of God, okay? So That's the introduction to the spiritual side of our life skills. The classical spiritual disciplines, I've already referred to them. The inner disciplines, we're going to do this next week, the inner disciplines. The inner disciplines are the discipline of meditation, the discipline of prayer, the discipline of fasting, and the discipline of study. Our outer disciplines that we can deal with are the disciplines of simplicity, I'll explain next week, the discipline of solitude, the discipline of submission, and the discipline of service. And then the corporate disciplines, which she just had up there, you're welcome to look at one slide tonight, is the discipline of confession, the discipline of worship, the discipline of discipleship, and the discipline of fellowship. We will get the breakdown of what those are, and we'll talk about setting goals. Make us practical. Set goals. You're not going to have it all ironed out all at once, but set goals and walk it out. Amen? Let's close in prayer, and then we'll tell Glenna what's happening. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for this word that we've heard, this introduction to the spiritual disciplines in our life. And we just we look forward to examining those, studying those, learning what they are, and applying them in our lives so that we can be closer to you, have an intimate relationship with you. And we thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, that we are growing and that we are closer to you than we were last year. And that with every day that goes by, we're going to get closer and closer. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.